Oh, Father, I truly do thank you for all those that came out into the house of God tonight to sit at your table. Because you invited us the other day in your daily word to come and sit at your table. And Father, I just thank you that your angelic host is here doing the works that they are instructed to do. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs us. And I thank you for your Son, Jesus, and his blood. And for sitting at your right hand, ever interceding for us, Father. Now tonight, God, I want you to do a special work in this church with these people who came out to sup with you. And Father God, the works that you began during praise and worship, complete it, Father, as we hear your word. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. God told me that we are still not calling on our angels. We have still not learned the lesson well enough. So we start on angels again. God said, children, my angelic host is waiting like horses at a starting gate to assist you in receiving all that I have promised you over the years. You are getting ready to see the biggest wave of my glory in church history, and the angels are going to help bring it into fruition. Every word that I have spoken over your life is waiting to come to pass, and all I need you to do is let go of self and surrender completely to the words I have spoken over your lives. In other words, you're going to have to go back, listen to your prophetic words, and then speak them forth. Now is the time that God wants to bring them forth. God said, that is not such a hard task, seeing as how all you have to do is be obedient to my voice. The rest is already history. It has already been spoken into existence, and now I'm ready to release it upon your lives. Then he said, what have I spoken over you? Then it is coming to pass. But are you willing to receive it? Are you willing to step into the miracle circle and receive all that I have for you? And we so willingly shake our heads, yes, yes, yes. But there still must be an ingredient missing, because we're not receiving the promises that God has spoken over us. So think about this tonight. Say, God, what is the ingredient that I'm missing? I'm saying that because as I was reading this, God said, do you have your total healing? So there's an ingredient that I'm missing to not have my total healing. And so if you don't have everything God's spoken over your life, then there's an ingredient missing. And you have to find out what it is. Some are and some are not. All right, let's go back to the paragraph, Nancy. What have I spoken over you? Then it is coming to pass. But are you willing to receive it? Are you willing to step into the miracle circle and receive all that I have for you? Then he said, some are and some are not. Some are still holding on to flesh, and it will take them out of the winner's circle. I promise you one thing. You do not have much time to decide if you want to be blessed or not. Some of your minds are so entrenched in your past and your past sins that you have really come to believe the sin is better than what I have to offer. And he said, how very, very sad. So back there he said, some are and some are not ready to see their miracles. Some are still holding on to flesh. So is that what we're holding on to? Is there still a little dab of flesh that we're still holding on to? I'm just throwing this out here so you can, you know, check yourself out and see what that ingredient is that's not allowing you to receive from God. Okay, now, let's go to, well, one day when it is too late, you will see the error of your ways, and that day will be when gnashing of teeth will occur. And you find that in Luke 13:28, and there will be great weeping and gnashing of teeth as you stand outside and see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets within the kingdom of God. In other words, you'll be very upset with yourself when you're standing outside and you see all your friends on the inside, all right? Then God said, my heavenly arsenal is full of weapons of warfare, and there is no reason why you cannot win every battle the enemy throws at you. Stand your ground and fight. Stand your ground and win back the ground the enemy has stolen. Stand your ground and watch your angelic host fight your battles for you. And we hear this, and I study this, and I teach this, but it's still hard. You know, we're calling on the angels, and we're really not seeing the angels do what we're calling on them to do. And we're wondering, okay, what is it that I don't know yet? There's something we don't know yet, all right? So this, now that's what God said. And I said, one time God spoke to me and said, first there was me, God, and then there was Jesus, then there was the Holy Spirit. Then he said, the church stepped all over my son's blood, making it of no effect in their lives. They ridiculed my Holy Spirit and grieved him. Then God said, now it's back to me, God, again. We're starting all over again with God. I thought about this the other day while driving home, and if you think about it, in the beginning when it was God, it was also the angels working with him. We know the Holy Spirit's always been, but it was the angels that were working with God at that time, bringing all the miracles to pass, fighting the battles for the people. So if God said, which he did, now it's back to me, God, again. So we're back to God, and with God is the angels. And as we cry out to God, God's going to send you angels to bring us what we have need of. So I said, now if we are back to God, then we are also back to the angelic host. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. And Romans 8:34 said, who is he who condemns? That's just a question. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's not saying that Jesus condemns. That's not saying that. It said he died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for you and I. Now, the Holy Spirit is inside of us, leading, guiding, and directing us, right? John 14:26 says, but the Helper, Jesus speaking, but the Helper will teach you everything and cause you to remember all that I told you. This Helper is the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. My Father will send you a comforter. And John 16:13 says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. See, that's why you have to be walking in the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to be spirit people, no longer religion people. He will lead you into all truth. He will not speak his own words. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you what will happen in the future. See, the Holy Spirit speaks only God's words, like a prophet should only speak God's words, and the Holy Spirit will even tell you what's going to happen in the future. And a prophet walking in the Spirit, God will use them and speak through them and tell you what's going to happen in your future. It's all in the Word. Now, God said, this season I am releasing a new company of angels, angels of my presence. These are the angels of your destiny. Certain angels will move with you, but others will be assigned to your special assignment. Did you get that? These angels are angels of God's presence. These are the angels of your destiny. Certain angels will move with you, but others will be assigned to your special assignment. Now, I said, they are door-opening, chain-breaking, earth-shaking, ambush-setting angels who will be released when you open your mouth in prayer, praise, and worship before the Lord and in the presence of the Lord. These angels are door-opening, chain-breaking, earth-shaking, ambush-setting angels who will be released when you open your mouth in prayer. You can't sit and think about it. You have to be praying. In your mouth in prayer, praise, and worship before the Lord and in the presence of the Lord. You know, really, truly, when we're in praise and worship here in the church, maybe we should open our eyes and look. Maybe we just might see an angel standing somewhere, or maybe we just might feel one nudging you on the shoulder as you praise and worship. Remember in Acts 12 when Peter was in prison, the church kept a 24/7 prayer watch going on in his behalf. As they prayed, the hinges of the prison door, what were they doing? praying. And as they prayed, the hinges of the prison doors flew off, and the angel of the Lord came and said, "Arise quickly," and the chains fell off of his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals," and so he did. Peter obeyed. We have to obey. And he said, and the angel said to Peter, "Put on your garment and follow me." And that is in Acts 12, 7 through 8. Step by step, the angel was with Peter, shielding him from being spotted by the guards, telling him which direction to walk in, and clearing all exits until he was safely out. Nobody saw Peter leave because the angel shielded him. You know, when the enemy's trying to kill you, if you call upon the angels of God, they can come and shield you, and nobody, they won't be able to see you. And you'll go through safely. You can't say, "Oh, I'm going to die." No, you pray, you cry out to God, and you ask God to release the angels to protect you. God is getting ready to blow some hinges off of some doors. When you learn how to praise him and say, "The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever." And when you can say, "Oh God, we bless you, even as the enemy is coming against you like a flood. Oh God, I really do bless you, even when your enemy is just trying to beat your door right on down, steal from you. You will, even when the enemy comes against you like a flood, you will see God release his angels to encamp around you and miraculously deliver you back on your chosen path. This is where God has the body of Christ at right now. And if we can believe it, we're going to receive it. Psalm 103, verse 20. "Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. This psalm tells us that the angels hearken to the voice of God's word. In other words, when you speak your prophetic word that God spoke to you, when you speak it forth, the angels begin to work on that word. Angels excel in strength. Angels are powerful spirits that have been sent to assist us in the advancing of the kingdom. We have the Holy Spirit who leads, guides, and directs us, but we also have the ministry of angels which have been sent forth from the throne of God to minister on our behalf. They give us supernatural assistance. We need this angelic host at work with us because of what is coming down the road, because of what is already going on. We need angelic assistance. Every time you get up in the morning, first thing you need to do is get those angels around about you, because when you go out that door, you don't know what you're going to meet that day. All right? If you're not doing that, you really, truly need to start doing that. All the prophetic words that have been spoken over your lives that you are wondering how they're going to come to pass, the angels help to make it so. Because how many of you know God has spoken things to you and say, "God, I don't see how that's ever going to happen." The angels now are going to make it happen, just like it did in the Old Testament. They will help fulfill his divine purposes. When we speak and decree the word of the Lord, angels begin to minister on our behalf. Angels are constantly at work behind the scenes, influencing cities, nations, governments, and history. And as we just discovered, they are also sent to minister on behalf of individuals. See, I think the problem is that this is what God is beginning, and because we haven't yet seen it in all of its fullness, we have a little bit of doubt. But we have to go ahead with faith, believe and receive, and then we're going to see it come to pass. And God said, "My angelic host are constantly listening for your voices. They stand at attention to hear what you are saying, and when you repeat what I have spoken over your life, they are immediately sent forth to accomplish my word in and for your life." Who was Elijah that prayed no rain for 3 years? Who do you think held back the rain? The angels did. Come on. We need to understand that the angels do go to work to do what we speak for to do, as long as it's God's word. I created you, my children, and I am a faithful father, and I will never leave nor forsake you in any given situation. See, we need to believe that too. You know how to speak negative words. You know how to try to manipulate people to do what you need. Now, why will you not speak forth the words that will activate one of the biggest weapons in your arsenal, the angelic host? I created you, my children, and I am a faithful father, and I will never leave nor forsake you in any given situation. You know how to speak negative words. You know how to try to manipulate people to do what you need. Now, why will you not speak forth the words that will activate one of the biggest weapons in your arsenal, the angelic host? This is where God's at. Please trust God's word. Trust what he's saying to you and start relying on the angelic host. The Holy Spirit will lead God and direct you. In fact, the Holy Spirit will even tell you what to say to your angels as you call upon them. In Genesis 28:12, Jacob saw a portal through which angels were ascending and descending. This portal is Bethel, the house of God and the gate of heaven. The house of God today is the church. We are now Bethel. I saw that portal, the other service, and the angels were ascending and descending. And I know that we have the angelic host working on our behalf. I saw it, and when you can see it, it's real. And I don't stand up here and say anything that I don't see. Now, a portal of heaven opens up when we pray, praise, worship, preach, and prophesy. A portal of heaven opens up when we pray, praise, worship, preach, and prophesy. Angels ascend and descend through this portal. They are sent to help and assist us. It is what God calls an open heaven. Now, how long ago did God tell this church, you are now working under an open heaven? And at that point, we were working, the angels were also waiting to work for us. But I think we too often, God says something like that, and we said, that sounds good, and we leave it alone. We never do anything with it. All right, the definition of an open heaven. An open heaven is a pronounced increase in a particular season of the supernatural invading the natural. An open heaven is a pronounced increase in a particular season of the supernatural invading the natural. And at that time when God said we were working under an open heaven, God started to do supernatural things once again. And he is increasing that, and he's never going to decrease that. It is a season God sets aside for a church or an individual and sometimes a region when the supernatural power begins to invade the natural. When the heavens are open, God comes down and listens to you. Your personal senses sharpen and you can hear differently. And how many of you, that's happening already? Because you're operating under an open heaven. Just as you have natural senses, you also have spiritual senses. Just as you can see in the natural, the Holy Spirit will anoint you to see in the spirit. And how many times you heard me say, I anoint their eyes to see in the spirit, to see what you see. Because I know that not very many people see in the spirit. They just look through their natural eyes and that's all they see. But you have to see as God sees. And if you see in the spirit, you're going to see the angels. Remember the scripture where the prophet said, open his eyes so he can see. And he opened his eyes. He saw the chariots all around. And see, because the man at first was looking through the natural eyes and didn't see nothing. But whenever the prophet said, open his eyes so he can see, then he saw into the spirit realm and saw the chariots and the army getting ready to fight for them. And I believe with all of my being that if we would say, God, open up my spiritual eyes and let me see what's going on around about me, we would see what Jesus sees instead of what we see. See, we only see that what's up front. But if we ask God, let me see through spiritual eyes, we will see as he sees. You can do that about individuals. God, let me see them as you see them. Let me see what's going on as you see. Not what I see, but as you see. And you're going to be surprised. It's going to be totally different than what you're looking at. All right? All right, I said, just as you can see in the natural, the Holy Spirit will anoint you to see in the Spirit. Two examples in Scripture speak of an open heaven from which we can pull strategies to implement in our lives that will help us sustain an open heaven. That will help us sustain an open heaven. Genesis 28:12 says, "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" The angels were going up with prayers and coming down with answers. For us now, there is a spiritual ladder. This is a season when the heavens are open and prayer is a key to keeping them open. We pray, we declare, accessing heaven is not only about binding and loosening, as we also pray, declare and we pray. It is about your prayers going up and answers going down. See, God wants us to get our answers right away. Not a year from now, not a month from now, but right now. We need strategic answers, revelation strategy, and direction in this season. We need to see heaven manifested in every area on the earth. An open heart of prayer makes this happen. What happened? The angels took the prayers up and brought the answers down. King Solomon is our second example. His prayer for wisdom in 1 Kings 3, 6-9 demonstrates the heart of a chosen one open to God to teach, lead, and provide heavenly resources as he calls us to a new assignment. So I said in 1 Kings 3, 6-9, it demonstrates the heart of a chosen one. Are you a chosen one? Or it demonstrates the heart of a chosen one to open to God. Your heart has to be open to God to lead and provide heavenly resources as he calls us to a new assignment. In other words, we believe that God is going to give us everything we have need of to complete the assignment that he's called us to do. Solomon prayed in 1 Kings 3, verse 6, and Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." Solomon was now made king because David had passed away. "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child." See, humble, humility. "I do not know how to go out or come in." He's saying, "I don't know how to direct these people. I don't know how to be a king. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart." See that? "To judge your people." Why? "That I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" In this chapter, we see the characteristics of a chosen heart. And one of the most powerful characteristics is humility. Humility. There's so many times I've gone before God and God, I said, "God, I really don't know how to lead these people right now. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what to say to them. I need your help because I can't do it." And he always, always gives me direction and tells me what to do. I don't judge you. I don't condemn you. I just know that I don't know how to go any further. I've done all God's told me to do for you, and now we're at a standstill, and so now I have to seek God's face, which I do. God, where do we go from here? What is it you would have me to do? You have to stay humble before the Lord if he's going to use you as a servant. And if you're even going to get your answers to your prayers. And I said, in this chapter, we see the characteristics of a chosen heart, and one of the most powerful characteristics is humility. Solomon had been raised in the royal courts of Israel. He grew up with the best and was afforded many privileges. But in his prayer, you know, he had everything, right? He was raised with a silver spoon in his mouth, a gold spoon, whatever it is. But in Solomon's prayer, he emphasized inexperience, a lack of knowledge and inadequacy in being a king over God's chosen people. See that? I know when God first told me to start a church, I said, God, I don't know how to do a church. He said, I will teach you. Just be obedient. I could have jumped in there both feet and said, I know what I'm doing. And fallen flat on my face. And God said, you already run two businesses. And he said, this is just like running a business, so you can do this, but I'll teach you how to do it. See that? Solomon knew well in that in himself he didn't have what it took to lead them, these God's chosen people. This is the epitome of the humble heart of the chosen. Solomon saw himself through sober eyes and realized that without God's help, he would not be successful in taking on such a significant role. See that? Without God's help, Solomon knew he would not be successful in taking on such a significant role. God was so pleased at the posture of Solomon's heart that he opened the windows of heaven over his season of rule over Israel, and this is what God said to him. You know, if you think that you've grown bigger than other people, then you are not humble. If you think that you're doing things greater than other people, then you are not humble. You know, whenever God uses other people to prophesy or even to do whatever in here, doesn't bother me at all, because I know who I am, and I know that God is trying to train you and teach you in the ways that you should go. And I stay humble before God, knowing that He knows how to take care of me. All right? Come on. You need to get humility in your heart, just like Solomon did. All right, so God opened up the windows, and this is what he said to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. What did he ask for? He asked for wisdom, didn't he? Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. See, God said, you didn't ask for anything for yourself. You just wanted an understanding in how to lead my people. I'm going to give you the understanding, but I'm going to bless you beyond that. And I'm going to give you things you didn't ask for. Just to show you I'm your Father. Too many of us are sitting around going, God, I need, I need, I need. And when really we should be saying, God, help me meet others' needs. You see that? And then as you're really humble before God and you really meet other people's needs out of a humble heart, God will start blessing you and give you things you didn't even ask for. Solomon didn't devise or manipulate his prayer to God. Out of his heart flowed a prayer that revealed his ultimate desire, which was to bring honor and pleasure to God by leading his people well. See that? James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. See, we pray all wrong. We're always praying for what we have need of and what we want. And we cry, we moan, and we groan, and we need to quit that. And we need to seek God's face. God, what is it you would have me to do? I need wisdom and I need understanding. I don't care if it's just going to your job. We need wisdom and understanding on that job, how to handle that day and the people you're going to come in contact with. There is so much stored up for the righteous, but it will not be released to selfish, self-seeking, man-pleasing, pleasure-seeking hearts. I wrote all this down because this is what God just dealt with me about. And he said, my people don't even understand how to really pray and ask. So I said, there is so much stored up for the righteous, but it will not be released to selfish, self-seeking, man-pleasing, pleasure-seeking hearts. Great wealth is coming to the people whose hearts are after God. God's been telling us that over and over and over again. That great wealth is being released, but great wealth is coming to the people whose hearts are after God. He's just not going to pour it on anybody. That'd be dumb, wouldn't it? It's for those whose hearts are after God. They have a great and mighty work to do that needs the things of heaven to be released so that they can get things done. Prayer is a key to releasing God's wisdom and wealth to his chosen ones. It's all through prayer, and I really believe that too many of us have forgotten how to pray. We do everything else, but we forget how to pray. As I said in the beginning, when the heavens are open, angels begin to ascend and descend, moving in our behalf and in response to our prayers. Looking back at our first example of an open heaven, we see that with Jacob, God increased, expanded, and blessed his family and all their future generations. And he said in Genesis 28:14, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You can see the dust of my house. My house is full of dust because we're renovating. That's a lot of dust, all right? You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wouldn't you like to be that type of person? That in you and through you, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Just not your family, but all the families in the earth. And this is where we fall so short, too. When the heavens are open, God begins to spread out and breaks limitation off of your life. He wants to bless his chosen ones so that all the families of the earth are blessed. He wants to expand your measure of rule because there is no limit to expansion of his kingdom. Why? Because God is with you. He put his name on you, and through your prayers you have caused heaven to open over you. Because God is with you. He put his name on you, and through your prayers, you have caused heaven to open over you. Now the angels are ascending and descending, moving on your behalf. God said, children, it is miracle working time, and my angelic hosts are waiting to bring the miracles to you. Let's just stop there as I was reading, and I read the article about the 30-year-old pastor from a mega church who committed suicide yesterday. He'd been dealing with depression all of his life. He wrote quite a few books on depression and everything, but he finally just took his life yesterday. And that really grieved me. I said, God, what is going on here? And they said he was a beautiful man of God, you know, a young guy, 30 years old, only been ministering in that church 18 months, but it was a big, huge church. They called it a mega church. And he committed suicide. Now, I'm not judging him. I'm not judging the body of Christ. The man even wrote the books telling how he was, you know, dealing with depression. But somewhere along the line, you know, something just went astray and he just decided to end it all. He just couldn't deal with it. All right, you need to know that you're unstoppable, that you are unstoppable, period. When the heavens are open, nothing can stop you from walking in your destiny and accomplishing the purpose for which God has sent you. The reason why I brought up the man about committing suicide and depression, do you know how many people sit in the body of Christ with depression? And you can't even tell they're even walking in depression. And even though this man had a lot of people around him, you know, helping him and everything, that he just couldn't do it. Let's not be judging somebody who is in depression. Thank God you're not there. And pray for them. Lift them up and ask God to do whatever needs to be done, because I really don't know what needs to be done to send to that person to help them come through that stage in their life. Amen. Depression isn't a good thing. You just feel like there's no sense of going on. Even though you're like him, he had a beautiful church, wife, two sons. Everybody loved him. He, for some reason or other, just couldn't get over that doorstep, and he just ended it all. Let's be more considerate and caring about those around about us. You know, we don't have to know every detail about your life. We just have to love you like Christ loves you, and just hold you tight in our prayers, and hopefully help you come through those trying times. We don't have to go say, I'm praying for you. You know, that's not a humble heart. They'll know that somebody's praying for them. They can feel somebody's praying for them. Just pray for them. You know, they don't need to know you're doing their prayers. They don't need to know that it's your prayers that might have got them out of depression. They just thank God they're out of depression. All right? God needs you to get this perspective in your heart. Once God has decreed it in the heavens, it will be done. What has God spoken over you? It will be done. Genesis 28:16 said, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is a gate of heaven. He was sleeping out on the ground when he said all that. He said, this is the house of God outside. So where is your house of God at? You know, you make your own house of God when you decide that God is in the place. He might be in your car, you know. It might be you pray all the time in your car and God just meets you in your car. He might be at your desk at work. You might sit there working at your desk and be praying all the time. And that might be the house of God. Might be the toilet when you're sitting in there praying, trying to get away from everybody, you know. And that's your own place you can get privacy. That's your house of God. Amen. But please pray. This coexisting spiritual realm was always active, but Jacob didn't experience it until God opened his eyes. Talking about when Jacob realized that was the house of God, this coexisting spiritual realm was always active, but Jacob didn't experience it until God opened his eyes. God wants to establish his presence in your life just as he did in Jacob's life. Maybe you need to say even right now, God, just please open my eyes so I can see the angels ascending and descending. And please don't make it up if you don't see it. You aren't accomplishing anything. I told you I've been praying and praying, God, I want to see the ladder in here for years. And finally, the other service, God let me see it was all lit up from heaven. And the angels were really busy. It's real. I know, you know, you can't, if you make it up, you can't hold on to anything. Make sure it's real. God wants to establish his presence in your life just as he did in Jacob's life. My children, this is the day and the hour that I so desire to, this is God speaking, that I so desire to show myself mightily on your behalf. It is the hour when the greatest show in the heavenly realm begins for my chosen generation. Will you be partaker of the open heaven? Will you be partaker of the open heaven that's over you? The name El Shaddai, Almighty God, indicates all might, all power, all strength, and all sufficiency. Whenever God reveals his nature, character, and attributes, when he reveals himself as the Almighty God, it also means that all might, all power, and all sufficiency are in me and in you. All of heaven is backing us up. And God's been, the other day, talked about El Shaddai, the mighty God, in our service. So since he spoke that, he revealed himself as the Almighty God. It also means that all might, all power, and all sufficiency are in you and me. All of heaven is backing us up. If you have a dream in your heart, now is the time to put the business plan together. Do you have a dream in your heart? Put the business plan together, because heaven is unlocking the resources for it. Are you listening here? Now is the time to speak to God about your dream, your vision, whatever you want to call it. If you want to get that house, God is saying, now is the time to get it, because heaven is unlocking resources. If you need a miracle, God wants to release heaven's resources. Many miracles, signs, and wonders are waiting to be released in this generation. God just wants a hungry people. those who know how to open up the heavens, those who know how to worship Him, and those who know how to bless Him. If you don't know how to do any of these things, then you're not going to think anything about an open heaven. You're just going to plod on with life and never receive anything from God. God wants to use His glory to open our eyes, ears, and hearts. God has put things in your heart, things that you dreamed of, and at the time you may have felt as though they were too hard to do for whatever reason, and you put them down. How many of you have done that? Felt like you're not worthy, so you just forgot about them. You need to know that God is breathing new life into those dreams. He is performing every promise and will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. This is what it means to have El Shaddai living on the inside of you. God loves you and He is ready to bless you. His angelic host is standing by listening for God's words to be spoken. You know, in the prophetic word for the day, God said that the old season has passed away. Isn't that what He said? And we went, and so the transition has ended. Now the old is all gone and now we're into the new. And after God wrote that, then I read an article where somebody said that September the 29th would end the transition. But seeing as how we are a forerunner church, God gives us the things before others get it. And God spoke in the prophetic word of the day that the transition has now ended. And He spoke to me personally, said either they have received it or they have not. In other words, either that you let go of the old and went into the new to receive the new and to walk in the new, or you're still holding on to the old and you still got it. You're not going to be able to drop it because the transition has ended. God is waiting for you to decide in your heart whether or not you want Him to place upon you the blessings that He has already spoken over you. Now, all of you in here denied that you've had prophetic words spoken over you. If you want that window in heaven, that door in heaven to open wider than what it is, you know, just slam it and open as wide as it can go. If you'll come to the altar and speak the word that you want to come to pass, God is going to cause that thing to come to pass instantly. But it has to be the word that He's spoken over you and told you is going to happen in your life. It can't be something that you're just making up. The altar's open. You can come up to the altar. And if there's ones in here that you've never had the prophetic word over you and you don't want to know what God's doing, as soon as we do this and we do the prophetic word, and God will speak to you and God will tell you what it is that He wants you to do. Jehovah God is saying to you, daughter of Zion, I have spoken and so shall it be. And even though you've thought I was slow in bringing it to pass, I am going to suddenly, instantly bring it to pass. And I'm going to catapult you right into the very center of your ministry. And daughter, you will reach a multitude of people and bring them into my kingdom. Daughter, I have been working on you, and this is the time and the season when I am ready to catapult you right in the very center of all things. The Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct you. The Holy Spirit is going to come to you and tell you exactly what I want you to do. So be listening very carefully to what my still small voice is saying to you. The angelic angels have already been released from the heavenly realm, and they've already been sent to and been commissioned to come to you and to help you in this work that I'm calling you forth to do. It is not a small work, little one. It is a huge work. It is a large work. It is a work that's going to bring multitudes into my kingdom. And I know in the past you've been a little bit depressed about it. You really didn't think that I'm calling you for to do this thing. But daughter, all my children, while they were in transition, they thought the very same thing. But none of that was true. It was the enemy trying to stop you before you reached this moment in time and in history. So little one, reach up to me this night. Receive the anointing of that open door for your ministry, and then just proceed as you hear my voice speak to you.